You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Dance Off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Chris Gilpin.
And this is Sam Tweedle. And hi, guys.
Sam Tweedle.
Yeah.
A little under the weather.
I'm a little under the weather, a little low energy tonight. But as I was saying, it's a good night to get out, talk comics, hang out with the guys. So I made sure that I got my butt over here. So it's a thing. Of course, our buddy Marty is not here.
Nope.
I don't know what's going on with where Marty is tonight.
He just didn't want to spend time with us.
That's no, and I think he had something actually happening, but I don't know what. I didn't talk very much to him this week, which is kind of odd for us. We went to a lunch that one day, the three of us, and I saw Dan. I've seen all you guys this week, actually, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Except for just here, but yeah.
So what's happening?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, I did something really great last week, something I finally had done. I actually sat down and I caught up on all my comics.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I've actually read, like, scores of comics. Now, I haven't picked up this week's comics yet. I might get them on Sunday, or it may actually have to be next week. I'm not sure. I'm busy tomorrow, and I haven't had a chance to get down there. But I took all the existing comics that I had, which was stacks and stacks, and over about a 7-8 day period, I actually spent time... I think last time we were on the radio together, I think I was saying that I've been so busy with the new job and everything that I haven't actually had a chance to read everything. Yeah. Well, I've read everything, totally digested everything. So my first big question, and I think I brought this up to you guys last time we were on the show together, has anybody read X-Men Red?
Nope.
Nope.
I have not.
Okay, well, let's just skip that.
No, go ahead. I'm curious to hear about it.
I talked about it last time. What was it? 2 weeks ago on the show, I talked about it. Mm-hmm. About how one of the really weird things about X-Men Red to me is the fact that it didn't even feel like... Okay, so they did the whole Return of Jean Grey thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they ended. It's like, hey, Jean Grey's back and she's been dead. How many years has she been dead? She's been dead longer this time than ever. Yeah. Before.
It was new X-Men, right? It was the last time she did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a long
time. So when they started X-Men Red, they just kind of started, was like, oh, she's alive and she's totally knows what's going on. And it was, there was no fallout from the end of Jean Grey. Like, it's not that whole kind of thing where she's, oh, well, what have I missed? And what's the new status quo? And what's happened to all my friends? And oh my God, I've returned to a world I no longer understand. No, it was like, hey, I'm Jean Grey. I'm starting a new X-Men team, and we're X-Men Red, and it's great.
You think there'd be a little more excitement?
You think they would be. And I was just kind of wondering, again, I think I've asked you guys this question, and I have yet to talk to anyone who's actually read X-Men Red to say, what was your take on that? Because to me, it was like, I'm in because... I love Jean Grey, and I like, and they got some great characters on that, Nightcrawler's on the team, X-23's on the team, and Submariner's on the team, and I mean, I think that's really cool, right? Mm-hmm. So I like the team.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like the team, but I don't know, it just, I'm in, but I just really am just so let down by the lack of continuity.
Yeah.
Or the... I don't know. They could have got so many ways with exploring Jean Grey's character on, you know, being alive again.
Yeah.
You know, But oh,
the one time she started, the first time she was resurrected, that was the whole birth of X Factor.
Well, you know, it's funny. Mm-hmm. I bought the Essential X Factor off of you, mm-hmm. what, about a month ago or so ago, and I've been slowly plucking away at it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I read a handful of those books, or I collected X Factor pretty regularly back in the early 90s.
Probably early 90s.
Early 90s, yeah. But you know where I used to buy them from? You know how I got into X Factor? I used to... Do you remember when DeBuy's Hobbies sold comics yeah. for like a bit of millisecond?
Yeah.
I remember that's where I was always getting my X Factors from. So that to me is a real X Factor era store. Right. You know, it could have been one of the only books I collected from DeBuy's. They didn't do comics very long.
No, they did not.
They tried. They made a go.
Yeah.
They made a go.
Yeah.
DeBuy's Hobbies. Wow.
Well, I remember getting into comics more and deciding to read a series from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And X Factor was in like issue 9 or 10. Mm. So it was fairly easy for me to go back and get number one. And
yeah.
So that's the first real series I started from number
okay,
one.
Yeah.
Even though it was on issue 10, but still.
I never read the early issues of X Factor or the Resurrection of Jean Grey storyline, because they also in the Essential X Factor they include the issue of
Fantastic Four
and Avengers.
Avengers, yeah,
which is pretty cool. And reading that whole story, like I'd never read it before until now, and I knew what happened, but to actually read it's kind of cool. So I'm still curious about what people's reactions to X-Men Red is, and if they feel as weird about it as I do. You know, if there's anybody out there and they're listening and they go to our Facebook page, you know, start a discussion. I want to know, what do you think of X-Men Red? Was it a really bad beginning? Because I think it was. But I'm still going to read it. It didn't totally stink.
I mean, the return of Jean Grey has to be an event, not just a, oh, here's a new book. And not really make a big deal about it.
But what they did is they had the event and then they had the new book.
Yeah.
And then they didn't do anything in the middle. Yeah. Like, there should have, to me, it's almost like was there like a 90-page special that I missed? You know, whatever, or something? I don't know. It's weird stuff. You're really quiet, Dan. What have you been up to in the world of Dan?
Nothing. reading comics.
Sorry to put you on the spot there, buddy, but, you know, I've just been kind of...
That's why you're here, though.
I guess. What?
You haven't been here for a while.
2 weeks. You weren't here 2 weeks ago either. For 2 weeks either. Heard about last week, man. That's rough. Being stood up.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, well, no, it doesn't. It's never happened to us before.
That's
a first.
That's fine.
That's a first.
That's fine.
That's all right. It's okay. Like, I mean, you know, I haven't actually heard the episode. I'm scared to listen to last week's episode. I'm scared it might be
Marty and I did good.
Well, I'm sure you did, but you know, anyways, I brought some comics. Do you guys want to know about the comics?
Yes, we do.
All right. So first of all, first one I brought a couple, but Ice Cream Man. Issue 2 of Ice Cream Man came out.
Careful, that's a horror comic.
It is a horror comic, and it's very, very good. Yet again, issue 2 of Ice Cream Man came out, which... And this is interesting. The book's being advertised as an anthology book. And it is. It was. So this month's story is completely different than last month's story. But what's interesting is there was a character in issue number 1 that I had a feeling... have a feeling is going to be...
Reoccurring.
And I'm not talking about the Iceman, Cream Man himself, but it was a police detective.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, you know what? I just got this feeling that she's going to become a threat. And sure enough, she does make a one panel appearance in this one. But again, it's a whole different story. Wow. Some amazing storytelling in this book. It is a horror book, but... It's one of the best horror books. I mean, it's only 2 issues. But it's one of the better horror books I've read, or maybe one of the best ever. I mean, I am so excited about this series. I still don't know anybody collecting it. I have 2 copies of this. Do any of you guys want a copy of this?
I will take
Dan
it.
There it is, Sword, Dan. Yeah. There you go. That is for you.
I still need to find a copy of issue one.
Number one is apparently there's a second print out now.
Second print. Like, I haven't seen the second print anywhere.
You know, but. Yeah, I haven't seen it either. But that's I accidentally had two stores give it to me, so I have to cancel it from a store.
So the ice cream man is the same person.
He's the same. Yeah. Now. Yeah. He is the villain of the series, and it was cool when they, as I've talked about this on the show, I'm repeating myself, but Image, when they first solicited, they made it look like it was going to be like a nice series, you know what I mean? And then the big reveal at the end of issue one, I'm just about to wreck it for all of you, is you find out that the Ice Cream Man is kind of, there's a real sort of feeling that this kind of like, I see a lot of the book and the movie It in it, because it's about a town that's literally being infected by an evil entity.
Right.
And it's affecting the people in the entity. It's not really like a clown in the sewers, but it's that kind of idea. So this town is under siege by this evil entity, and these are the individual stories of the people it affects. And man, some good writing. I could see that becoming a TV series too. That would make a great TV series.
I keep thinking of a book by Stephen King, Mr. Mercedes.
No, I've never heard of that book.
Yeah. It's nothing supernatural. Serial killer, detective, but there is an ice cream truck involved in
the
story.
Is there?
So every time you say that, it
kind of fits.
Yeah.
Because I've read Mr. Mercedes. It's a good book.
How have I never heard of this book?
Because it's one of his like newer ones from the past.
Oh, that's really... So if it's not like...
I don't know. Like from 2000 and on, Stephen King is like no longer the king of horror, though. He's just a writer now.
Oh, is he? Because like, I don't know. I've read Carrie.
Just a writer.
I've read Quotes. Christine. I've read Cujo. I've read
It. The classics.
I've read Pet Sematary. You know which one I liked? Hearts of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
There are two sequels to Mr. Mercedes.
Yes,
as well.
I think I have the second book, but I haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
What's that one, Under the Dome?
Oh yeah,
I got a copy of that, but I've never read it. But it makes great doorstop.
Oh, it's humongous.
Yeah. I mean, you could use that. Like, if a guy broke into your house, you could take Under the Dome and hit him in the head as a weapon.
Yeah.
You know?
And easily put him under the dome.
Yeah, you really could.
They tried to make that a TV series, but they butchered it.
Yeah, I heard that. Canceled. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what happens when they butcher stuff except for Riverdale. But,
it just
gets more popular. Yeah. So I was looking for Riverdale Pops, and I walked into... they only sell them at Hot Topic. I went to Hot Topic one day and I said, "Hey, I'm looking for some Riverdale Pops. I can't find them." And it goes, "Well, it's not because they're Pops. It's because it's Riverdale." And I'm like, I don't know what that means. I
guess that Riverdale's popular.
All I know is that the Pops look enough like the comic characters for me to want them. You know, so I can't find those anywhere. And I'm too proud to look. Very hard. Yeah. I'm hoping in Toronto I might be able to pick some up on the 17th. So
I would think so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, other ones I brought. This is a brand new series from Dark Horse called Mata Hari, which is, and I haven't figured out the direction they're going to go with this, but it is a biographical comic on Mata Hari. But I don't know if it's going to be based in reality and then do a fictional story, or is it a bio? I'm a sucker for any biographical comics, and if you go through my collection, both in floppies and trade paperbacks, you're going to find a real crazy arrangement of autobiography comics, from Muhammad Ali to Johnny Cash to Jeffrey Dahmer to Billie Holiday. To Louis Riel, Andre the Giant. I mean, you write a comic about someone that was famous. You know, I'm a sucker for this stuff. So I couldn't resist this one, the Mata Hari one. I don't know if you guys know much about Mata Hari. She was, I believe she was from Belgium. And during World War I, she was literally an exotic dancer. And she ran with very upscale crowds, and it was a little bit of a sensation in Europe for her you know, her costumes and her eroticism. And she was basically caught. She was hired by the French government to spy on the Germans. However, they ended up finding out that she was also hired by the Germans to spy on the British. So this was all during World War One, and she was captured in France and eventually executed as a double agent.
Double agent.
Okay. And the history books have always been kind of like, was she framed? Was she innocent? Was she guilty? You know, like they've never really been able to figure out the whole thing, but it's really compelling stuff. And so they're doing this now. The first issue is pretty history based. If anybody gets it, definitely do a quick read on Wikipedia. I had to refresh my memory of the story because, and once a refresher, it was like because. It's a very non-linear comic, which doesn't make it the easiest to read. The story is amazing, and the art is absolutely fantastic. And I'm looking for the creative team here. Usually, they just say right on the front of, you know, right in the first page, but I'm not finding out who. I can't find out who's even doing this. I don't know. I don't know who's writing this. I don't know. Oh yeah, here it is. It's being written by Emma Beebe and Ariel Cristantina, I believe, is doing the art. There's this Pat Massiori. I don't know who that is. And I'm saying none of these names right. So definitely check it out, like if it's your kind of thing. But it's a fantastic book. And over at Image, the latest two Kick-Ass books have finally been released. Now, everybody remembers Kick-Ass was Marvel Miller World. Mm-hmm. You know what you called it? And that was a Marvel imprint of some sort, wasn't it? Anybody know the way that worked?
It was eventually it was Icon or something as well, wasn't it? Icon or Econ? I don't know. Anyways.
Well, anyways.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about these last week, Marty and I.
Oh, have you guys read them then?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. Never mind.
No, go ahead. What do you think? I'm curious just to know what you think.
Kick-Ass itself by Mark Miller and John Romita Jr. is it's a new female Kick-Ass with a brand new origin.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
I thought so.
It is so good, and I cannot wait to go down this journey with this character. I don't miss Dave. I read four series with him or something like that. He was a great character. I liked where they ended his story. And if they don't bring him back, I think it'd be interesting to bring him back and have him and
her
meet.
I'm sure he will at some point.
Yeah, but I don't miss him in the sense that I feel his stories as Kick-Ass is done, you know? Yeah. It's funny. Did you read the original Kick-Ass comics? Yeah. You know, I tell you, the movies played fast and loose and made some changes. I wasn't so good. Some stupid changes.
Yeah, I like the movie.
But I like the movies, too. Hit Girl. I've always loved Hit Girl as a character. This is Mark Miller and Ricardo Lopez Ortiz. I like the story. I liked what their take on this. This time, Hit Girl's teaming has saved a hitman, professional hitman, and she's blackmailing him into being her sidekick.
She didn't do it out of the good of her.
No. And it's like, if you help me on this one mission, what is it, like 7 days?
Something
like that. Then you can go, no questions asked. Of course, we know that's not going to work out.
But she's still got some kind of shock collar.
Yeah.
Bomb or something.
Mindy's nuts.
What do you think of the artwork?
I hate it.
Yeah,
me too. Absolutely hate it. Yes. Ricardo Lopez Ortiz. And look, I'm not a big fan of John Romita Jr.'s art, to be honest.
I don't mind.
But I'm used to it. I'm used to it as a house style for Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Right? But this Ricardo Lopez Ortiz, I'm sorry, Miss Ortiz, but
it's too anime-ish
or something. I don't know. I really didn't like it. But me and Marty's had this conversation so many times. I can dislike an art style, and as long as the story's good and the characters are good, I can run with it. You know, and I'm like, I can look by it, right? I don't need to love the art in a book. I need to love the story. And it's great if it all gels together. But honestly, I'm not enjoying a lot of art in a lot of books I'm reading these days. I'm sorry. I want everything to look like Neil Adams. I'm sorry. you know, or that, yep. Who was that guy who did the DC characters in the 80s? That Lopez. That was this guy. Never mind. The other thing I got, and this came in the mail today. I've not read it. I haven't cracked it open. I got my copy of James O'Barr's The Crow, mm-hmm. because I'm going to get this signed in a few weeks. And I've never read The Crow. I saw the movie. I don't remember the movie. I remember I saw that movie came out when I was in high school. Yeah. And everybody thought it was really cool. All the goth kids liked it. I hung out with the goth kids, right? Mm-hmm. And I saw it, and I thought it was just as cool as every other angsty, angry kid. And I remember about maybe 10 years or so ago, I tried to rewatch it. I didn't like it. I just thought it was just, I didn't think it had much of a plot. It was just angry and violent and plotless. I think I
did
grew.
Did we start to talk about John Wick, or are we sticking with The Crow here?
Well.
Because that sounds like John Wick to me.
Well, you know, it's funny.
Plot and violence.
I only saw the first John Wick because Marty gave me a really hard time for not seeing John Wick. And I didn't really like it either.
No.
You know, I was like, no. What? I felt sad. The part about John Wick that bugged me the most was the killed the dog.
That's the whole point of all the movies.
Well, that really bothered me. It was like, what do you mean you killed the dog?
Yeah.
You monsters.
Yeah.
You killed the dog. And speaking about killing the dog.
Oh.
I've recently come to a conclusion that scene in Christmas Vacation where the cat eats the... that's not funny. That is not a fun... No, it is not... The cat is killed at Christmas. Then putting the cat in a box and having the cat... That's funny. Having the cat die... Dead cats are not funny. It's not funny. I'm just saying.
Anyway, so I was scrolling through Newsarama and I see that they're remaking The Crow again. Or, I don't know, but Jason Momoa. He's too big and bulky to be... I don't even know what the character's name is, but...
Crow?
The Crow.
The character's The Crow.
The character. You know what I mean? He's too...
Yeah, he is. He should be,
like when sleek when and Brent... When the crow walks into a room, people laugh at him because he's, like, skinny and they're not really afraid of him.
Have you read The Crow?
I've seen the movie, but... well, I'm assuming he's the same kind of skinny, gothy character that...
You know what's funny, though? Looking at, I had no idea this book was going to be this thick when I bought it. This is the Crow Special Edition, the definitive author's vision of the classic graphic novel. James O'Barr featuring a new introduction by the author. So that's great. He's coming to Peterborough. I don't even know when he's coming. I just figured I had money, so I better order this now while I can. And before I spend it all on pops. Yeah. So
coming to Peterborough for the Peterborough Comic Con, April 22nd, I believe,
is
the date.
Okay.
James O'Barr, that's pretty exciting. I won't be here.
No, you're going
I'm going to the Timmins Comic Con in Timmins.
How far away is Timmins?
Far enough.
7.5 hours.
My God, that's a long way to drive.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is
going up there to...
It's
going to
be 14 hours by the time you drive back.
Well, it's a weekend convention, so I'm going to stay up there for the weekend.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm just saying that you know, it's 14 hours.
Why are you going up there, Dan? Well, let me tell you, Sam.
Can you fly?
I've never flown in my life.
Well, now's a good time to start.
It's cheaper to drive.
Yeah, but okay.
You never know. Fly to Peterborough Airport in the Timmins, rent a car, or get a cab.
Bazam.
I don't know.
All right, anyways, where are you going, Dan?
Going up to see Davis Dewsbury and Andrew Thomas from Oryk will be there. This is Davis's hometown show.
Oh, cool.
And it'll be the first time that I get to meet Sharon Gauthier, who does the art for Lola Roar Man.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Quebec, and this is the only show she does in the year.
Okay.
And so that's why I decided to skip the hometown show here and go up and have the Lola Roar Man creative team united.
Okay, very cool, man. That's going to be exciting. That, my friend, is worth the trip to Timmins.
That is.
Yes,
and also, it's unofficial right now, but we're planning to make this the Ontario launch of a Roar Man number 2.
Excellent.
So, nice. Should be a fun time.
Yeah.
Cool.
Now, either you guys have plans to go into Toronto on the 17th?
Yep.
I'm about 80% going. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely going. I think we're still trying to figure out the ride situation. I think I might be driving up by myself because I'm.
You're doing stuff.
I'm going to be having dinner with Ken Wheaton that night, and I don't want to get trapped in Toronto, and I don't want anybody to be stranded with me. So, but of course, you guys being my good friends are definitely invited. The listeners, we're not telling you where we're going. I was in touch with Ken. It was actually Ken's birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Ken Wheaton.
Happy birthday.
And I was in touch with Ken, and really, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing him. You know, he's a good buddy of mine, and he, of course, does work for Bongo Comics, and he'll be at Toronto. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with him on the 17th and seeing lots of other. They just released the prices for autographs. Mm-hmm. And if I get autographs by everybody I want, which I won't, because I will not stand in most of those lines, I can actually afford it. The autographs were actually relatively nicely priced. Usually you go to Fan Expo, autographs are what, $70 to $100?
Yeah.
I think like the chief from Wonder Woman's only charging $45. I think Megan Follows from Anna Green Gables is like the most expensive one that I was interested in. Of course, I'm not doing stuff like Arrow and...
Yeah, those
Walking
ones might
Dead
be more.
And stuff like that. But, but you know, like the gentleman plays Skinner and on X-Files. And
Mitch Pileggi.
Yeah, and the chief from Wonder Woman and Christy Swanson. You know, like, those Buffy. Are pretty good. They're good guests, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Christy Swanson's been at these things before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never met her, though. So, or well, that's the thing. When you go and get an autograph at one of these things, you're not really meeting the celebrity. You're just standing in front of him getting an autograph. It's a whole, don't say you met him. I'm not meeting any of these people.
No.
I'm just getting their autographs. But I'll be lucky with my tolerance for lineups these days. I'll be lucky if when I go to these things, usually I'm lucky if I get one or two. And then I can't do it anymore. Niagara Falls isn't bad for lineups.
No.
But, I think I'm definitely going to hit Niagara this year.
That's good.
So, yeah.
So we missed a chance to segue when you were talking about Mark Miller, but there was some news. I don't know if it's been talked about, but that Image Comics is going to be publishing the Mark Miller comics that Netflix owns now.
Which comics are those?
Well, Netflix signed a deal to have Mark Miller and his Miller World titles come to them, but they didn't know what the distribution would be like or anything like that. And, a little while ago, they just said Image Comics is going to publish at least the first one called The Magic Order.
Okay.
With Mark Miller and Olivier Capel, who's a pretty good artist.
Okay, cool.
Like him.
Cool. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of news this week, too. Like, did you guys see anything about this Neil Gaiman's Sandman universe or something?
I read a little bit about it.
I read a little bit about it too, and I didn't understand at all what it was. Is this like an imprint or a series of Sandman books coming out? Or
I have no idea.
None of the books interested me that much. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you that. But what was weird is I guess they're starting in this one special called the Sandman Universe Special Number 1. Mm-hmm. And the... article actually told you every single thing that happens in that issue. It's not even out yet. I mean, it was spoiler. It wasn't just spoiler heavy. It was like, I do not need to go and buy that book.
Right.
Because it's not even months away. I don't even think it's been said what month it's coming out. And it told you absolutely everything that happens in that book. And I was like, but they're doing a whole bunch of new Sandman, like there's a Book of Magic book coming out. And there's some other Sandman-esque books. What I was surprised is that I figured this would be a really good time to finally put out a Death Regular series, mm-hmm. which is probably my favorite Sandman character with most people's. But, yeah, there was nothing about Death at all. Like, mm-hmm. Maybe it's to come.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yep.
To have multiple Sandman ongoing books is either, you know, DC's last gasp at trying to do a Vertigo thing or... Or a good idea or a I don't know if it's a good idea or terrible. I think I'm just apathetic about it. I'm apathetic about Sandman. I didn't buy the last Sandman series.
Yeah, I haven't read many of them.
I've read the original. I have the original.
Yeah.
The original series. Yeah. I have all those.
Yeah.
But I haven't read it. I don't know. I got a real apathy about Sandman these days. So. But aren't they supposed to be doing a Sandman movie?
It wouldn't surprise me.
I think there is a movie. I think there's supposed to be a movie coming out.
But is that like one of the perpetual rumors of a movie or?
No, I think they've started casting it. Isn't it like I don't know, like something like, well, if it was like the CW's Sandman, it would be like Justin Bieber is Dream, you know, and Aria Grande is Ariana Grande. What, you used to work at a
Ariana
store. Ariana Grande is Death. It's gonna be great.
So it's great. It's launching with the Sandman universe number one.
Yeah, okay.
That's plotted by Gaiman, but written by four other writers who are then each spinning off into their own series. So okay, Gaiman doesn't seem to have a lot to do with it.
All right, what's the four series? There
you go. The House of Whispers, uh-huh. Books of Magic, right. The Dreaming,
okay.
And Lucifer.
Huh. Oh, no shocks there.
Because that's a TV show.
Okay.
Right? Well, Lucifer?
Oh, is it still on?
I have no idea.
It was, yeah. It's the Lucifer TV series based on the Sandman character. I do know that, but... Yeah.
So that's the news on that.
Now, I didn't read any of those articles that were sent about this whole Marvel relaunch thing. I didn't read any of them. Anybody know anything about that?
I was looking for them but couldn't find.
Yeah. All I saw What's-Her-Face dressed as Captain America, and I just went...
Who's What's-Her-Face?
You know, What's-Her-Face.
What's-Her-face. See, this is
how much... Oh, yeah, she's got a good face.
Eartha Kitt.
No.
Well, you just, what's her face? That's a face.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up later.
Oh, for crying out. Okay.
All right. Anyways. I was so disinterested, but.
Anyways. Yeah, look at us. This is, this, welcome to Hey Kids Comics, Night of Apathy. It's apathy night at Hey Kids Comics, where we don't care about anything.
So,
I'm too tired.
God, Bleeding Cool reported a few days ago that, Donnie Cates will be writing a few Marvel series is coming up.
Who's Donnie Cates?
He does Redneck, Baby Teeth.
Oh, really? So, who's Donnie Cates? Only one of the best horror comic writers in all of America.
So he's working on the Cosmic Ghost Rider series coming up, which is Frank Castle as the Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Spoilers!
But what?
Is that really a thing?
Yeah.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
It's in a Thanos... what was it? Thanos 15? Thanos 13?
13. What?
Well,
Okay. We have a half hour and we have nothing to talk about. Explain. explain. Just tell me what
it
is.
I don't know.
It's
Chris owns the issue.
It must be in a. I haven't even read it. It must be in a different universe or something.
Okay, so it's not really.
There is this cosmic Ghost Rider who was around for a few issues, and then it was revealed that it's. Oh, by the way, my name's Frank Castle. I was like, okay.
So it's not really the Punisher or the Ghost Rider?
No, it's.
It's kind of like Spider Gwen isn't really Gwen Stacy. She's like Spider Gwen.
It's in a different universe. I don't
just
know.
Like Spider Gwen. So is this like the spider from the Spider-Gwen universe?
I don't think so, no. It's all about Thanos. There's two Thanoses in the book.
And, I don't even know who Thanos is.
He's a big bad guy.
Well, I know that, but who is he?
He's got a gauntlet. That's all.
What does the gauntlet do?
Stuff.
Very powerful.
I know he's like, I was thinking about this the other day. So there's a new Avengers movie coming out, right?
Yeah.
And like they have like, what, 118 different characters in it?
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah. But I was thinking about it. I don't really want to go to that.
It'll be...
I don't think you have it with 118 different characters. You can't do any real character development or plot or story. It's just going to be like 3 hours of all these characters punching each other.
That's not even the bad guys, right? That's
just I can't see that being really entertaining. No, we went and saw, me and Marty and two of his daughters went and saw Black Panther on the weekend, which I thought was pretty good. Like, it wasn't, definitely not my favorite, but it definitely, definitely didn't like it. It entertained me. And one of my big complaints about Marvel movies sometimes is about an hour after walking out of the theater, I've already forgot what happened.
Yeah.
It's been 7 days. I can actually tell you what happened to Black Panther. Wasn't the most integral plot of all time, but it was cool. It was just a cool action film, a cool popcorn action film. What I say I love, it's not in my top five favorite comic films. Probably not even in my top 10, but definitely not in the bottom rung.
Yeah.
Such an enjoyable movie to watch. It's such a great way to spend a Saturday afternoon with people that you like to be with.
There you go.
But the cool, good thing about Black Panther, you know how many characters were in that movie? One. Black Panther. I think this is my problem. I don't want to see a movie that has...
Too many.
Well, I'm saying 110. Maybe it's not 110 characters, yeah.
But even Civil War was a bit much.
I can't tell you what happened in Civil War.
Yeah. Well, the airport scene where they're all fighting each other is the only thing that stands out.
I don't remember that. I'm sure it happened.
That was the big premiere of Spider-Man.
Oh, I kind of remember something about that. No, I remember what happened is there's a thing at the after credits.
Oh, yeah.
Right? At
something to do with the gauntlet and gem.
No, and then there's another one.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah, there's three credit.
Wow.
Yeah. The first one was really good. And then the second one was interesting. And then there was the third one. And the few people who were left, who in the heck leaves during the credits of a Marvel movie? Like, do you people not know?
No.
But the few people left kind of gasped. And I was like, who's that? I don't know what's going on. And friggin' Marty's youngest, Aaron, told me who the character was. And I was like, really? So what's cool about it? And they're like, don't you remember, like, what happened in Civil War? And I'm like, no. What happened in Civil War? Well, this happened. And that's why this is cool. Well, why'd that happen? I don't even know what's going on. I sat through that movie. I truly, maybe it's just me, I truly do not remember what happens at the end of these films. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's why I don't go to them, because I can't talk about them later. But Black Panther, because I get confused. I'm not a stupid man. Why do I not like movies with 100 characters?
Well, I watched a comic book related movie last night.
What was that?
That I definitely can remember what happened in it.
Okay.
Without any problems.
What was it?
Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman.
Yeah, how was that?
I liked it. Christine actually stayed awake and she said she liked it.
Now, was that not released? That never came to Peterborough.
I don't know, to be honest with you. It's been out for a while. Well, October.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's the origin of the guy that created Wonder Woman.
And it's all about him creating the lie detector test, right?
Well, that was part of it, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He created, but unfortunately he didn't patent it. I don't know why these guys don't patent these things, but anyways.
He was a kinky weirdo, wasn't he?
Very much so.
Did they get into that?
This isn't like Dan saying, come on, kids, let's watch this movie about the guy that created Wonder Woman. No, Dan. You don't want your kids to see this movie. Not until they're much, much older.
Well, he used to hide. If you look at his old Wonder Woman comics from the 40s, like, there's a lot of, like,
bondage.
And lesbianism and
so this
and
explains
stuff. Yeah.
Why.
Okay. Yeah.
How.
He hit a lot of stuff. I'm not hiding it.
It's right on the cover.
It's right on the cover.
Well, the movie starts with kids going around door to door collecting Wonder Woman comics so they can go burn them.
Why?
Because
of the
way women were treated in the books with the bondage and the spankings. And it's crazy. But so then it kind of, it goes to him going to like a, I don't want to say investigation, but he's being criticized because of the content.
Because during the witch hunts for the comics, Wonder Woman, I've read books on it.
Yeah.
And Wonder Woman wasn't one of the books that they really went after. They went after Phantom Lady.
Yeah.
Black Hat, which was a Harvey book. And of course the EC comics.
Yeah.
And those were, but Phantom Lady was the sexy heroine that the US government went after. It almost sounds like me if they're doing it saying it's Wonder Woman. It's almost like they're replacing history, you know, like
I would. Well, this is all based on truth.
Okay,
you know, so it you know, it shows him watching the at the beginning. It shows him watching the kids burn the comics, and then it flashes to this inquiry.
Okay,
and then as he's explaining why he wrote the comic the way he did, it flashes back to him and his wife at university, basically studying women and how they act and behavior. And
oh, really?
And it was a great movie.
Yeah, like, is it?
I really enjoyed it. Okay. I mean, it's, like I said, it's not for kids because it was a little hardcore.
You had to go on those bondage sites for research, right? Afterwards.
No, I was... It explains why she has the lasso, you know, and it is kind of related to him creating the lie detector, right?
Okay, yeah.
Because the lasso makes you tell the truth.
Makes you tell the truth. It was a great, don't want it or not.
It was a very good movie. A little shocking for the time, right? Like, it was just... I recommend it. I mean, you watch movies, right?
Definitely should watch it. I do watch movies, Chris.
You should watch it, for sure. I'm surprised you haven't seen it.
No, I didn't even know it was out. I knew it was coming out or whatever, but it seems like it slipped under the radar or something.
Yeah, I don't know if it... I just was aware of it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you're like, wow.
Okay,
this
cool.
is crazy.
Cool, I'll check that out. Yeah. I'm looking for something to watch.
So. Even the cats, you know, make the cats go to the other room. It'd be too much for them.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Yeah, we should talk about it after you watch it, because it's very shocking.
I don't know how shocked I'll be.
Yeah, it might surprise you.
Maybe, I don't know. You should see some of the movies that are in my collection.
Don't even start.
Cannibal Holocaust.
Oh, hey.
We're not watching that again.
Not watching that again. So for people who don't know, one time some random amounts of us, people, of friends of ours, we got together to watch movies. And for some reason, we ended up watching Cannibal Holocaust. Chris has never come out and hung out with me again.
Yeah.
That was and last time he did that, I remember watching Cannibal Holocaust with Chris and just watching Chris. He was not enjoying that experience. I've never seen a movie, anybody enjoy a movie less than watching Chris Skilpin watch Cannibal Holocaust.
Every time I see a turtle, I just,
boom,
I'm well up inside.
Every time I see a turtle, I think of you.
Yep.
And I...
Poor turtle.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently they're remaking that.
Don't say that.
No, it's going to be the CW is remaking Cannibal Holocaust. They're up doing a reboot of Cannibal Holocaust, right?
Justin Bieber's the turtle.
You know, where these hip, cool, cute kids, you know, good-looking kids go into the jungle to Holocaust cannibals together.
Yeah.
And it's hip, and it's trendy, and it's cool. So, but it's not in a jungle this time.
No,
it's a mall.
That's right.
It's a mall, and there's no cannibals.
No,
they're just they're all vegans. At a mall. Yes. Yeah, there's no Holocaust. They just all kind of play with each other's emotions.
All right.
It's the CW's Cannibal Holocaust.
Did you guys read up on, not that I'm changing the subject.
No, it's okay. It's a good subject to change.
Trying to change the subject.
Diamond Comics and this new thing called Pullbox.
What is Pullbox?
Let's just have the rest of the show about Diamond, because I have some other stuff to talk about too.
Did you read about that?
I have not read about that yet though.
Basically, from what I'm getting is that we as collectors get this cloud-based program called Pullbox, where we're submitting to Diamond the comics that we want, and they get delivered to our comic shops. So it's like we're ordering directly from Diamond. That's how, I mean, I could be way off on this, but that's how I get it. So you would go on and you would tell Diamond, I want this, and I want it sent to this store when it comes out.
I love that idea. I really
do. It's very different.
Certainly, but you know, but different. I think I think sometimes there's mistakes or you miss an issue because your local comic store made a mistake. I think this would prevent some of those mistakes from happening.
You would hope so.
You know, one thing that annoys me, I found out, is that sometimes, let's say, you know, I order, you know, like, I don't know, like Snagglepuss, right?
Yeah.
And four people ordered Snagglepuss. But then all of a sudden, two people added Snagglepuss to their pull list. Now there's six people that need Snagglepuss, but only four issues of Snagglepuss coming in. Well, because my last name is near the end of the list, guess who's not getting Snagglepuss?
That's right.
Even if I could be the first person who ordered Snagglepuss, doesn't matter. My name shows up on the end of the list. because of it. It's alphabetical. And then I'm having it reordered. I still haven't gotten the second issue of Snagglepuss. Bam! That actually is the book I'm talking about. But I found that that happened with Marvel 2-in-1 to me. It's happened with Archie a few times. It's something that's really been kind of pissing me off about my local comic store. And that would end that kind of thing, one would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends how they show up, right? Like,
I suppose.
Do they show up in an envelope with your name on them? I don't know.
Well, they become
just as a part. Like,
they come as a diamond shipment.
But does this just make things even more convoluted when stuff arrives at the comic book store where they're like, oh, I don't know what these ones are for?
Yeah, because, I mean, if like, the store's not ordering them, there better be a list attached to them.
Yeah.
Oh, now, Sam Tweed.
As a guy who worked retail for many years and dealt with customer orders where we ordered stuff in for people, there are definitely easy systems to put in place to do that. However, does Grey Guardian have the same system as CBA? No. Right. Does CBA have the same system as Worlds Collide? No. Exactly. So it's not like there's a universal system that
well,
they
actually say
apparently there is a retail side to this app as well. So I don't know. I guess we'll learn more about it as it happens, but it's different.
Yeah, it is. It is. I don't know. I like it. So yeah. That's something I'm famous for not liking change, but that's one change I could go for.
Speaking of change, how about DC Comics getting their own DC previews and not having their previews in the previews book?
Oh, Marvel's doing that, right?
They are.
So DC's thinking about doing it now?
Yes.
Huh.
So does that completely negate the normal previews book for most people?
Well, it's not as thick as it usually is, I would think.
But now you got to carry home 3 books instead of 2 books, which is already a pain.
Or they just carry home the DC and the Marvel and leave all the Image and
Aftershock,
Archie, Boom,
Dynamite, yeah,
all that stuff in the comic book store and say, I don't want that.
Yeah, oh, man.
I would think there's some collectors that collect from those other companies that would want it. Like, I know Martin.
There's definitely, because you're looking at 3 of them, right?
Right here, yeah.
But like, we know we're the exception.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for the fact that, like, you know, I literally don't read. I collect 1 physical Marvel comic. I collect 1 physical DC comic. The rest are Image and Aftershock.
I'm buying a lot of Marvel and DC. I buy Marvel and DC books, but I'm buying the least amount I ever have in all my years of collecting.
Yeah. See, I'd probably grab that every month, the DC previews. But I don't get the other ones.
You don't get the other ones. That's interesting.
There's too many temptations in there for me. Yeah. But then I miss stuff. But
yeah,
oh well.
Yeah. But you
it
get
is
to
what it
hear
is.
About it through us.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. Aftershock, what's that?
Mm-hmm. So when does this start, Dan?
It looks like 2 months from now, when they put out the May issue for what's going on sale in July.
Okay.
Right.
So, looks like that's when this is going to take effect. So, it'll be interesting.
Definitely.
Like to see, like, but how many people actually look through the previews and order stuff from it?
I look through it, but I got to admit, I do a lot of skimming. Like, I go right to the sections of the main companies I buy. I don't read the Marvel one. I usually look at the...
Actually, don't even take it.
I look at the back, the final page, which has all the list of comics.
Yeah.
And I see if there's any, and they bold the new ones in dark. You see what the new books are. And then if I'm interested in I might go take a look. But I don't go through that one individually. Mm-hmm. But I do a spreadsheet of all my books every month and I go through the previous catalog pretty diligently to do that. And then that Marvel book, yeah, again, it's just the back page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'd pick it up for sure.
Maybe that's why I'm only buying 4 Marvel books.
Maybe you're not reading the relaunches and reimaging.
Are you kidding?
So, but would you read a new Fantastic Four comic book?
Probably.
Especially if it was written by Donny Cates. That's the rumor.
Oh, yeah, I would. Oh, well, I'm loving Marvel 2-for-1.
Marvel 2-for-1. Yeah, here's the rumor.
2-in-1.
2-in-1. I have to go grab issue 2 of that.
Here's the rumor, which is that Donny Cates told some people that he's writing another comic book for Marvel that's not the ones previously announced, mm-hmm. and that Bleeding Cool doing what they do best. They've put out a bunch of rumors indicating that maybe it's a Fantastic Four comic book. The May solicitations have six entries featuring the Fantastic Four.
Really? What are they?
Spider-Man Deadpool number 32 has a thing where it says, find out who's in the Fantastic Four of the future.
Okay.
There's four reprints of Fantastic Four material.
In those
like there's a Masterworks.
True Believer books?
No, like collections. Okay. Fantastic Four Omnibus. A John Byrne Fantastic Four Omnibus. Mm-hmm. One just collecting a Behold Galactus storyline. And okay. then a Marvel Masterworks.
All right.
And then Marvel 2-in-1, mm-hmm. Which says, the fate of the four will be revealed here.
Mm. Yeah.
Sounds to me like they're finally doing it.
Especially
like
since
it.
Disney bought Fox.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? So,
you know, here's the thing, and we've talked, this has been a topic that have come up with me and Marty so many times on this show, is that we are such, the Fantastic Four for me, it's a team I'm a sucker for.
Mm-hmm.
I see Fantastic Four and I get pretty excited. I love the characters. I love the idea. I love their place in Marvel history. I love their place mm-hmm. in comic history. It was the beginning of the Marvel Age. And The Thing is probably one of my absolute favorite Marvel characters. There was a time, kids wouldn't remember this, where The Thing was, like, Wolverine wasn't a thing. There was no Wolverine. And The Thing was the edgiest character in the Marvel Universe. Right? Like, he was. Wolverine kind of knocked The Thing out of his iconic place, you know? But I've always just loved Ben Grimm, The Thing. But every time my Marvel, the Fantastic Four, I always start, every time they just like Jean Grey, every time they shoot some new Fantastic Four thing out, I always try it. Yeah. But I very rarely stick with it for whatever reason. I think the last series, I bought all of it. And then there was FF, I bought all that. And there's been a few series here and there, but usually I peter off somewhere.
Yeah.
I get bored or disinterested. It's a team I just love so much, but they run out of steam, man. But if you got Donny Cates, is that his name?
Yep.
It sounds like a pop star. Doesn't it? Am I wrong? Does he not sound like a pop star?
A little bit.
He should be from a boys band, but the boys band broke up and he went solo. He's Donny Cates. You know? Ooh, girl, I'm Donny Cates. Loving you forever.
Ever. So a couple health issues with a couple comic-related people. One directly related, one off and on related. Kevin Smith.
Solid had a heart attack.
Massive heart attack. Yeah. Somehow managed to send out a live broadcast after or during it. I don't know, from the hospital. Did you not watch that?
No,
hey,
I didn't
I'm
see
here.
That.
Yeah, I just had a massive heart attack on stage. I was like, wow, are you serious?
He was on stage?
Well, he did one show the night before and then was going to do another, and I don't know, just didn't feel right. And more directly related to comics is Stan Lee. I guess he's got pneumonia, which for a person his age is not a good thing.
That could be the end of it, man.
Not a good thing.
Not a good thing. Man, Stan, get better soon. We got...
Excelsior.
Yeah.
I mean, he is 90-something.
Yeah, 92, 93, something like that. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Stan Lee should outlive us all.
That's
you know, if Stan Lee needs a liver, I'll gladly donate mine.
Sam will gladly go and find somebody and put him in
somebody
a
who's
flight.
Got a similar.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, get better soon, Stan.
That's right.
So this might be shocking to you guys, but I'm actually caught up on a superhero TV show.
Oh, my God. Oh. Which one?
I know. Black Lightning.
Oh, I haven't even seen
I've only seen the first two episodes.
Seen any of it.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
What do you think of the costume?
The costume's fine. Yeah. I mean, it is literally flashy.
Yeah.
But, you know, after you see it the first time, I feel like in the first episode, the costume looked really bulky and like...
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like he's like almost like the Hulkbuster Iron Man or something. Like that. But I haven't noticed in the rest of the episodes.
How many episodes has it been so far?
There's five.
Oh, I should get my hands on those and try to watch them. I always like Black Lightning. I got an original run of the original series from the 70s, and then of course he was in The Outsiders. He was one of my very favorite issues of Justice League of America when they offered him to become a member of the team and he turned them down because he didn't want to be, you know, with, you know, these. And he was the Black Lightning who, you know, what was the thing? Like, you're all superheroes that hang out in a satellite. You know, you're not on the streets, right? Like, I always love that, you know? He's
the man of the streets.
He was. He was the Shaft. He was the John Shaft of the DC Universe.
Shut your mouth.
I'm just talking about Black Lightning. You know?
Oh, man.
You knew that he was street because they had the name Black in his name.
Yeah.
He wasn't White Lightning.
No.
He wasn't Grease Lightning.
Yeah.
He wasn't Yellow Lightning.
He's Black.
Black Lightning.
I tell you, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is really throwing me for a loop. It's just
I haven't seen that since the first season.
Oh,
what is that on season 10 now?
Five or six.
I knew it was a few.
But this, at the end of the last season, they get teleported away, and then all of a sudden they're in the future.
What?
And the Earth is gone, except for like a sliver, but there's still people living on it. But people are living. Oh, it's in the Kree are involved.
And does Cosmic Ghost Rider show up?
You would want to hope so, because
well, Ghost Rider was in the show.
That was one of the that was the best thing of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was, even though I'm not a big fan of the new Ghost Rider, I thought that was great.
Doesn't he drive a car?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
what?
But the episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. were great.
Okay.
I really, really Robbie Reyes.
Yeah.
That would have helped this season because it's a whole big time loop thing. Because apparently it's Quake or whatever you want to call her that destroyed the Earth. But she's in the future and they got pulled out of the past or the presence before she blew up the Earth. So now,
What's blowing my mind is I can actually understand and explain Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the heck you're talking about.
Oh, it's like, you know, so she's in the future and she's like, I'm not going back. Because if I don't go back, then I can never destroy the Earth, even though she's in a universe where she's already destroyed the Earth. It was like, oh my God, what are you guys doing? Have you watched it at all, Dan?
Oh. I have only seen the first like seven episodes of season one.
Like you can literally
even I've seen more than you, Dan.
You can literally go and watch the Robbie Reyes episodes just by themselves.
I probably
and they're
will.
Cool enough, right? You don't need to know anything else. It's just cool seeing Ghost Rider. Like, better effects than the movies that they made.
I only saw the first movie. I didn't see the second one.
Yeah. Yeah. But what they're doing now is just so weird. It doesn't help the fact that the Kree can kill somebody and then bring them back to life. Because, I don't even want to get involved. I don't even want to get started.
I think it's time for us to close the time loop on this show.
Yeah.
And say, I don't know. I don't have anything witty to say, Sam.
Boy, that hour went by quick.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway? Thank you.
level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take three.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.